some 2,000 years ago, God sent his sacrifice. He took our sins upon himself, hung there in our shame. He was spotless and so pure, oh, the Lamb of God for sure. For he took me as I was, oh, praise his name. What a friend he is to me, I can hardly believe that the God of heaven brought me out of shame. Why he loves me, oh, so strong, causes me to have a song. Oh, for he took me as I was, oh, praise his name.
Truth of the matter, here on the Success Radio Network, every Thursday night, we have the truth of the matter here with Dr. Doug Quick, saying welcome one, welcome all to the show tonight, especially our surrounding city and states, our countries near and far, as well as those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617. Just press the number one, join the conversation. We'd be glad to hear from you, especially your prayer requests, prayer praises, as we said, we have Dr. Doug Quick in the house again with another good message. We are looking forward to that. I've got the old triple axle tractor trailer backed up to the dock looking for a good load tonight. So, Sister Ruth, who do we got with us in the house tonight?
Well, as always, we got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, the band of angels, and aren't you glad they're always with us? And then we have you, George, Brother Quick, and just little old me.
All right. Well, Brother George, what do you got for us tonight?
Okay, I want to pray for our nation. I want to pray for the first responders and firefighters and the policemen. And I want to pray for the crisis at the border. It's going to be chaos this afternoon and tonight in about 3 hours. So I want to pray for them that the little ones wouldn't get hurt and wrapped up in all this stuff with the barbed wire and stuff. So we extremely important prayer for them today, and pray for Israel and in the stuff that they're going through. So we, and that's about it. Amen.
Amen. And speaking of traveling grace, two people need that right now. Emily's on her way back from Walmart. She's walking with a friend coming this way. She's got to pick up some stuff that she's got over here. So we want to pray for her and pray for her health, pray for her mother, pray for, of course, her family and the people in her building, pray for first responders, those in nursing homes and the hospitals, those that work there, as Brother George says, our military and our first responders, our police forces. Also want to be praying for Brother Tim. He was supposed to fly out of Ireland going to Israel today, but it turns out his flight has been changed till tomorrow, so be praying for his traveling grace for that for tomorrow, that he'll be able to have a safe flight into Israel, that he'll be able to do the work that God has called him to over there. And, of course, be praying for Pastor Bonnet and his wife and family. Pray for Brother Quick, his wife and family. Brother Six Eyes and all the work here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. Pray for Sister Nikhail and all the workers here, Six Eyes Radio Network. Pray for me and Ruth and our ministry, the need for a bus so we could get out here to the good old USA, to all the blind people that are needing to get help. And also continue to pray for the Bible we've been working on, that we're turning it into 24-point print. We just got done transferring over to our file all the way up to Psalm 120, so we're moving along with that. That gets us over halfway there. So just continue to pray for that project, that we're getting that done. So, all right, Brother Quick. First, Sister Ruth, what do you got for us before I forget you?
Oh, you didn't forget me, I know. I'm praying for George and Reverend Mrs. Quick, and praying for you that you still have that cough slightly, and I'm going to Cleveland tomorrow. They're going to see a pain management doctor whenever they get around to the insurance to get me some injections in my back. And I've been having trouble with the leg yet. It's a crazy hospital, got my appointment wrong, so I have to wait till the 19th to get that test. It's like, sheesh. So just praying for all lost souls.
Yep, and also I did forget, well, as far as the cough goes, keep praying for that because that's been vastly improving. And, of course, one last prayer request for Brother Quick for tonight, for him to have clarity of thought, clarity of mind, clarity of speech during his message so that everybody out there gets a good, clear understanding, and for lost souls, that especially that one who is nearest hell would come to Christ tonight. All right, Brother Quick, you could go ahead and give your prayer request and Sister Quick her request, and then we'll get you to pray and get into your message tonight.
All right. Thank you, Brother Ken. Miss Quick and I have been busy along the lines, I guess. We had to go to Valdosta yesterday. She went for her MRI. And I told her before we got there, I says, I feel like I'm the one going through that test. I've been through those MRIs so many times that I guess I feel them things when they're getting that close to me. I don't know. But Miss Quick did all right. They came to get her, and I said, how long is it going to be? And she says, 30 minutes. And I said, well, I'll give you 35 minutes then. Well, then they took 45 minutes, and she still wasn't out. So I guess we give them a little extra time, but that's all right. These people know what they're doing over there. And so we're just glad that she's through this test. We'll find out this next Friday, or a week from Friday, something. We'll be going over to Columbus to find out the results of that. And so we will be very much appreciative of everyone's prayers as we go through that. We've still got a couple of unspoken requests that we're laying before God and trusting that all of our prayer warriors all around the world are laying those before the Lord along with us, because there's just some things that matter, and they matter to Miss Quick and me. We know that they matter to the Lord, and the Lord knows that they matter to him. And so we're just pleading with the Lord for him to step in and do some things for these in these different areas. And we know that the Lord's going to do that. George just got a new telephone thing set up. He said he wasn't sure if he's going to be able to talk tonight or not, but I'm glad that he was able to talk, because it's always good to hear him on here. I haven't heard Brother Six Eyes, and I don't think he's too awful far away, but we're just glad to be able to be back here again this Thursday night. And we'll pray now and ask the Lord to be with each of these requests, and then ask the Lord to be with me as I bring this message tonight also. Are there any other prayer requests before I pray? All right, let's pray. Our Father, thank you very much for this night that you've given to us. Thank you for each of our listeners all around this world that are hearing our voice this night. And we're just pleading with you that you would deal with our hearts according to your own sweet and wonderful will. None of us are perfect, that is for sure. But some of us are doing a work for you, and that means we need to be going pretty straight, and that's not always an easy thing to do, but it's the way that we're going. We've been going that way for 49 years now. I'm asking you'd be with George and those requests that he brought tonight. Asking you'd be with our military especially, that you'd strengthen our military. America needs our military. There's no question about that. And then George said something about a wall. They're putting some pretty stuff, wire around it, I think, from what I've heard. I've not heard everything on it. But he's asking for the children to stay away from it. And I'm sure that if it's barbed wire at all, it would not be any fun for any child to get close to, that's for sure. And so we're just asking that you just be with those in Texas. I think that's probably where they're running that line. And Lord, I'm glad that we've got Americans that know what it takes to just protect those around us. And we're glad for those very much. I'm asking now that you'd be with me as I preach the Word of God this night. Be with Miss Ruth as she'll be going to the doctor on the 19th. And I'm asking that you'd help her to injection that she's been needing. And I know what it's like to be in pain a good bit. And I believe that's what her problem is, and I'm asking that you just help her to get this injection, and I would ask that it would be an injection that will work very good. And then for Brother Ken, he's working on the Bible for the Blind, and I'm asking that you just continue to help him. And then Miss Ruth said that he's still got a cough, and I think I have heard him coughing a little bit. I'm asking that you just touch him and help him in a very special way. We need him, and Brother Six Eyes needs him around the radio here. Brother Ken does a whole lot of work for him, and we're glad for that. And then we're asking you just help us this night to be able to say what we should. And help each one of us that are listening, help us to be able to hear what we need to hear. and just minister unto us according to your sweet and wonderful way. And just help us. And Miss Emily had some requests. I'm sorry, Lord, I'm getting in a hurry here. Her request always entails the first responders and those that work in those homes. And I think she usually has something to say about Miss Lila. I'm asking you to just keep your hand upon her also. And just watch over us now and help us to be found faithful unto you. Help me as I preach this message this night, and we'll sure thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I've been bringing some messages for the last few weeks on the fact of some folks who did not consider their ways. And I wanted to preach on this subject last week, and then the Lord says, he just says, shh. And so this week I'll be able to preach on what I had planned on preaching last week. The Lord never gets in a hurry, and I'm glad for that. He's always right on time. We've been looking at different ones. Looked at King Asa last week. He's such a good king, strong king. There was areas where he just did not consider his ways, and it cost him dearly. Tonight I want to look at the fact of King Saul. King Saul was the very first of the kings of the land of Israel. The prophet Samuel went to the Lord when Israel came to him and was desiring a king. The prophet Samuel came to the Lord and said, Lord, that's not right. You're the king of Israel. You're the only king they've ever needed. But the Holy Ghost said to him, that's all right, son. I've got everything under control. Just go ahead and I'll lead you to the man that I want you to put in as king. And he led Samuel to King Saul. Found Saul out in the sheep yard, spending his time with the sheep. And that's where Saul came in from. But Saul was the first king that Israel put in place, and they paid the price, that's for sure. They wanted to have a king like all of the other companies around them, all the other countries around them. That's in the Word of God. And that's the very thing that the prophet Samuel came to the Lord on, and the Lord said, it's all right, son. It's in my hands. I know what's going to happen. So King Saul was anointed as the king of Israel, and he led them really well in a good number of different wars. There was different enemies that would show up and would put strong demands on Israel, and God used Saul to bring Israel through all of those troubles. But then King Saul just did not consider his own ways. I'm sorry to say that, but that's just how it was. You see, I find in the Word of God, the Lord tells us some things about King Saul. In 1 Chronicles chapter 10, and verse number 13, the first part of verse 13, I want to start there. And for those of you that have a Bible around, I'll give you a moment or so to find your Bible, and then I'll take up what I'm going to say about this. First Chronicles, chapter number 10, and verse number 13, the first part of verse 13. Listen to this now. So Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not. You see, King Saul just didn't consider it to be an important thing to consider the word of God. It just seemed like there was times when he just didn't have any time to stop and listen to the Lord. But then, you know, we've got that same problem yet in this 21st century where we're living. Because King Saul did not consider the word of God was that which was important to him. Excuse me, listen to me now. I have been a counselor of pastors all around this great nation for the past 30 some odd years. And I know that there's been a whole lot of pastors that I have counseled through the years that just did not seem to consider the Word of God as something that was very important. All it was important to them for was that they get a message to be able to preach to their people on Sunday morning and Sunday night and on Wednesday night. But they didn't seem to need the Word of God for any other time. How is that with you? What do you do with the Scripture? I'm sure that most everyone that's listening to me has at least three or four Bibles laying around your house. There's some poor countries, and I know I'm reaching out there also, and I know some of you people don't have. I wish you did have. But here in America, I mean, it's just like about everywhere that you go, there's six or eight at least Bibles in every household. Very few of those Bibles ever get read. Hello. I don't mean to be sounding mean or anything like that, but I've been preaching the Word of God for 49 years, and I have had those times when the Word of God just didn't seem like it was all that important to me. I mean, when God first called me to preach, I ended up in a Bible college, and I got to where I didn't even have to study for my test, for my final exams, nothing. I would just listen to the professor, and I just figured ways of listening to him to know exactly what he was going to be putting on a test or on a quiz, and I never even opened the Word of God to read the Word of God for any of these tests, and yet I ended up with something like about an A. Help me, Mother.
Couldn't have been A+.
Oh, she says it couldn't have been A+. No, I wasn't quite that good. But I had about a 98 point something grade point average. I mean, I'm sorry, but the Lord helped me in that time, and that was one of those times when I just didn't spend a whole lot of time in the Word of God. But then when I went to pastoring, hello, I found that there was a whole lot of times when I needed the Word of God. I found that I didn't have enough time to be able to spend with the Word of God. I had church members that would come to me, and I would have to counsel with them, and I had to be up on the Word of God. And so it didn't take all that long before I realized the importance of how much that Word of God really meant to me. But King Saul never got there. You see, When's the last time you read your Bible? And if you're a pastor, I'm not talking to you about you know getting ready to preach on Sunday. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about when is the last time you sat down and read the Word of God for your own soul? Hello? Every one of us needs the Word of God for our own soul, that's for sure. We needed the Word of God when we come to trust Christ to save our soul, that's for sure. Amen. And we've needed the Word of God every day since. But you see, how many times have I been at different conferences around this nation to find so many of the pastors that was there was just so light on their preparation time with the Word of God. They would tell me they just didn't have the time. They had to work and all that stuff, and they just didn't have the time to spend with the Lord like what they really wanted to. Well, that work thing is, that's a poor excuse, I'm telling you. I use that myself. Amen. I know what I'm talking about. But you see, King Saul did not consider the Word of God a very important thing. We read that in verse 13, the first part of verse 13, chapter 10 of First Chronicles. But you see, it didn't last too long, because Saul found that when he got in trouble here, he'd get in trouble there, and then he'd be in trouble in other places. That's just how it is. Come on. Somebody say amen right there, because that's exactly how it is. That's right. You see, King Saul did not consider it
amen.
An important thing to consider the Word of God in his living. Well, when's the last time that you maybe skipped out on church? You know, it was church time, and, well, you just didn't feel quite up to it, you know, so you just thought, well, you know, you just stay home and maybe watch a ball game or something like that, you know. Uh-huh. I know. I'm getting close. I know. But you see, that's how it is most of the places where you go right here in America. On Wednesday night, there's so many people that do not go to church. Matter of fact, on Sunday night, there's a whole lot of people that don't come back to church anymore. Amen. That's just how it is. But you see, when's the last time that you gave God a tenth of every dollar that he gave you? I don't mean to sound like I'm trying to get nosy or anything like that. No. I'm just preaching the Word of God just like it is. You see, God's tithe, that tenth that already belongs to God, you got no business thinking you can hold on to that thing, because you're robbing God when you do that. Whenever you go to the church house and you give a tenth unto the Lord, I hope you understand you have not given God anything yet. Because all you've done is given everything that belongs to God already. You see, we need to, when we go to the church house, we need to give God a tenth of everything that he's blessed us with. And then we need to give him also an offering on top of that. Hello. I'm not talking about trying to make you poor. I'm trying to get you to understand that there's blessings upon blessings upon blessings upon giving unto the Lord. And that's a fact, and that's a fact for sure. Amen. But you see, if we don't consider the Word of God to be that important to us, well, then it sounds, I know that I sound like I'm just, you know, kind of, you know, picking on you, all that kind of stuff. I know, but that's not what I'm doing at all. I'm just preaching the Word of God like God has given it to me. But you see, King Saul's problem was
He didn't see the importance of the Word of God. He just didn't see the importance of it. And when he died, let me read that verse again. Verse half of verse 13. Let me read it to you again. So Saul died for his transgression which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord which he kept not. Oh. Hello. There's responsibilities to every child of God concerning the word of God. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you the truth. Well, there was a second thing that Saul had a problem with. You see, Saul just, he didn't consider the fact of keeping good company. Verse 13, I'm going to read that whole verse to you. First Chronicles chapter 10, verse 13, that whole verse. Listen to it. So Saul died for his transgression which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord which he kept not, and also for asking counsel for one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it. Hello. He didn't go to God. He went to one of these other places to see if he could find something out from God. Amen. That's exactly what he did. But you see, Saul did not ever understand the fact of keeping good company was just as important to him as keeping the word of God was. He's having a double problem here. He's being, he died because he did not keep the word of God, and also because he didn't know how to keep good company. Amen. What am I talking about here? Well, let me get nosy with you. When's the last time, all those ball games that you sit there with your children, when's the last time it ever crossed your mind? What you reckon those beer commercials are doing to your children? Don't tell me they're not listening, because they are listening. They're listening more than what you think they're listening. Every major sport on the television comes there with all sorts of beer commercials attached to it. Hello and amen. What do you reckon all those cuss words that your children hear in every television program that you watch, every TV program that you watch, those kids' movies, those kids' lines, those kids' programs? You better watch out, parents, because there's going to be some cuss words thrown in there. I've heard it myself. I'm telling you, cuss words come in there. They don't care if it's just your children, because they just figure your children are just getting used to that kind of stuff anyhow. But you see, Saul had this problem where he did not consider keeping good company to be something that was important. And it cost him. Amen. It cost him, just like it costs us to let our children sit there and watch those ball games and watch those beer commercials come one right after the other. And it,
come on.
It costs parents. It costs us. It costs us when we sit there and let our children listen to the television and all of those cuss words come flying at us all the time. Listen, don't you understand that you and your family are under a demonic attack when you sit there and watch that television? I'm telling you the truth. Amen. I'm telling you the truth. There's not anything good on the television that I could ever find. Hello. Hello. You see, there's a verse of scripture that'll back this up, what I'm saying. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and he said this: be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Paul said that. Paul knew what he was talking about. And Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and the church at Corinth knew what he was talking about also. You see, Don't you think, Dad, it's about time that you double-check your communications with those friends of yours? Hello? Well, don't you think it's about time that you double-check your children's communications along with those friends of your children? Don't you think it's about time you check on that? Your kids can say anything they want. They can try to say, well, you're just being nosy. Well, that's what you're doing. You're being nosy. You're making sure that they're going to do right. Amen. Making sure that they're going to do right. And it never goes wrong by getting nosy with your children. Amen and amen. Well, you better have a place, a time set for every family member to double-check their surroundings. You see, many, many years ago, it must have been, what, 30? Help me, Mother. How many years ago was it we went on the road with the bus, first bus? Must have been 30, close to 40 years. 1985, we went on the road. A bus had been given to us, and we went on the road. And it didn't take long for this dad to figure out there was something wrong. And so I got up one morning, and I went down to the breakfast table, and I said, excuse me, how many of you have read the Bible today? How many of you have read the Word of God today? Nobody had. Nobody had. So my oldest son said I got mean, but I didn't get mean. I just looked at my family. We had four children. I looked at my family and I said, okay, from here on, starting tomorrow, we're going to have at least 5 chapters of the Word of God read before we come and sit down here to the breakfast table. And I believe it was my oldest son said, oh, Dad, hold on. That's too much, Dad. That's way too much. And I said, no, it's not too much. That's what it's going to take for you to get out here and sit down and eat your breakfast. But, Dad, I'm starving when I get up. And I said, well, when you're starving, get starving for the Lord and then come out here and fill your belly up that way. It'll work that way. You know, to this day, the only child that I think that we've got that's still doing that very same thing is our middle son. Trained him a whole lot in his singing. And this boy, listen, I mean, he can sing. He can sing the glory. I'm telling you what, he can sing the glory down. He's gotten really, really good at singing. And my wife was talking to somebody, and they said to her, boy, that boy is really good. And she said, well, he sings every day. And they looked back at her and they said, well, I didn't know that he had a booking every day to sing. And my wife says, well, he doesn't get a booking every day to sing. But he sings while he's in the shower. He sings when he's on the road going to work. He sings while he's working. He sings when he's off on that lunch break. He sings on the way back home. He sings every day. He sings all day long. And he does. He's trained his voice as to where he can sing with the best. I'm talking about the best. Well, he'll get up to sing, and he'll start singing, and then he'll break, and then he'll start quoting scripture. It just thrills me. He'll take up quoting scripture, and he'll get to where he'll start preaching a little bit on some of that scripture. Amen. Yeah, he's been called to preach, and he's a preacher. But you see, he knows what it means to spend time with the Lord in the Word of God for sure. Amen and amen. I'm glad that we were able to train our children that way. Our daughter is home with the Lord now. She read the last of her Bible that she's going to read on this side. But you see, It's important, very, very important to understand what it means to raise those youngins and you raise them right. Amen. You see, I'm here to tell you, there are just some things about King Saul that you and I have got to be able to sit down and learn about. His first problem, his first fault, he couldn't find the importance of the Word of God in his living. Amen and amen. He became a very wealthy man. He became a very powerful man. But he became a man that it didn't take long before he had to go to war. And when he went to war, God made sure that his sons were killed the same day he was killed. Amen. And it was all because he didn't have time for the Lord. And then he had an awful time thinking about keeping the right company. He just couldn't get it in his mind that he had to get the right company around. He wanted to get a hold of one of these other ones and see if he could find something, what was going on the other side. He just had to do something like that because he couldn't seem to get it in his head that he needed to stop and spend some time with the Lord instead and forget about all of these other ones. But he wouldn't do it. He would not do it. Well, you see, King Saul sinned also in the fact that he did not consider having a good prayer life. Oh. He didn't consider the importance of having a good prayer life. Amen. First Chronicles chapter 10. I'm going to read verse 13, and then I'm going to read verse 14. Listen to what the Word of God says. So Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it, and inquired not, verse number 14, and inquired not of the Lord. Therefore he slew him and turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse. He had 3 points of failure. Number one, he just didn't have any time for the Word of God. I mean, he was a warrior. And he was fighting one war right after another war after another war. It sure seemed to me like that's a good time to spend in the Word of God to me. That's what it would seem like to me. But King Saul didn't have time for that. And then King Saul wanted to find out about Prophet Samuel. And so he went and found a woman with a familiar spirit. And it was this woman with a familiar spirit where King Saul was told, just go on, go to war. You'll be over here with me tomorrow. You and your boys will be over with me tomorrow. And King Saul couldn't hardly face that. Well, they finally got him to where he would sit up and eat something. And then he went to war the next day, and that's what happened. That's what happened. They all died. Isn't that amazing? They all died. Well, King Saul did not consider a good prayer life being important before God. I read that in verse number 14. Let me read it to you again. And inquired not of the Lord, therefore he slew him and turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse. You see, King Saul knew that he was in trouble. He didn't know for sure that it was David that was going to take the throne. He was thinking more along the line of his son, Jonathan. Well, his son, Jonathan, was one of the boys that died in that war with him. So it wasn't Jonathan. It was David. And how many times did Saul have David right there in his presence, and he would throw one of them hand sword things to try and pin him to the wall. And the one night he tried twice. It would seem to me like David would have known better than to go back in there the second time, but David went back in there the second time. And when he tried to get him a second time with that hand thing, David got up and left. Isn't that amazing? Saul was trying to kill. What about that? Well, what about those times when you've gotten so angry? You may have gotten angry at the preacher. Hello. You maybe have gotten mad, really mad at the preacher, the preacher's son, maybe. You just get so mad you can't even see straight. And then you wonder why you can't get anything out of God. It's because you're guilty of death. You're guilty of killing. Read the Gospel of Matthew. Read the Gospel of Matthew. Read about chapter 4, chapter 5, right in there, chapter 6. And you can read about what happens to a man when he gets really angry. It's just the same thing as murder. Uh-huh. That's what God said. Well, you see, King Saul had these three problems. Number one, he didn't have time to spend with the Word of God. Number two, he didn't have time to think about trying to run with the right crowd. And number three, he didn't have time to consider stopping to have a good prayer life. Uh-huh. I hear you. I know that's about where you're at. I know that's where you're at. I've been there. Hello. I've been a preacher of the gospel. That doesn't mean that I'm an old man. No. It doesn't mean that at all. But it's been 50 years, October the 22nd. Oh, listen to me. My wife could tell you some stories. I'm not going to let her, amen. But she could tell you some stories about what happened all that 50 years. She can sure enough tell you some stories. But she's over here with a big smile on her face. I'm sure she wouldn't be telling you about all them funny things. Amen. That's why I'm not going to let her get on here and say anything. Hallelujah. But you see, King Saul had some problems.
Come on with
it. He had enough problems as to where he just did not want to try and figure anything else out, because he couldn't find any other way to go but his own way. Well, that could be where you're at. That could be where you're at. How are you at tonight? Let me ask you this, Christian. Listen to me now. How are you doing tonight? How well are you keeping the Word of God? Uh-huh. How well are you keeping the right company around all the time? Come on now. What about the company that you do keep? What about the company that your family is keeping? What about your own personal prayer life? Hello, meddling. No, I'm not meddling. I'm just preaching the Word of God. I'm trying to help you to understand there's better things to do than to sit around and poke about the preacher. Amen. There sure is. But you see, child of God, listen to me. The Word of God ought to be a very special thing for you in the way that you live your life. Amen. And you need to be very careful in how you keep your company, because the devil has got all sorts of company that comes along. They sound so good. They look so good. But they ain't worth a flip, because they're not all what God would have you to hang around with. That's right. And you see, Christian, listen to me. There needs to come a time when you need to understand that you need to have a good, wide, open prayer line between you and the Lord. Amen and amen. Right after God had called me to preach, my father had been a pastor for 40-some-odd years. And one of his preacher buddies found me. And he said, "Brother Quick, it's just so glad that I'm just so glad to hear that you've been called to preach." And I said, "Well, thank you, sir." He said, "Well, how's your prayer life?" Well, man, I thought, you know, this fella's interested in my prayer life. And I named off about everybody that I could think of that I'd praying for. I got done. He looks at me and he says, "Brother Quick," he says, "I don't know if you heard me or not." He says, "I just ask you, how's your prayer life?" And I thought real hard and I thought, oh no, there's a couple more here. I forgot this. And I brought up a couple more names. And he looked at me and he said, "Brother Quick, I don't think you heard me." I said, "Well, please, would you tell me what you said?" He said, "I ask you, how's your prayer life?" I said, "Well, I've told you the best that I know how." I said, "What is it that you mean?" He says, "I'm glad that you asked me." He said, "Because I'm going to tell you." He says, "I'm glad that you're praying for all of those people that you said that you're praying for." And he says, "I hope that you don't quit praying for them." But he says, "That's not the question that I had when I was asking you how your prayer life was." He says, "What I was asking you was this. When you get done, all done, calling off all these names to the Lord and telling the Lord about all of your troubles and all of that kind of stuff, when you get all done with that, just stay put and be quiet." And I weren't all that old in the Lord. I just looked at him and I said, "Excuse me, sir." He said, "I'm glad you said that also." He says, "You had your time talking with the Lord and telling the Lord everything. Done with that, just shut up and stay quiet and listen." I said, "Well, what am I listening for?" He says, "You're listening for the Lord to speak back to you." And you know, when it come time for us to leave that first work that we had started, I knew it was time for us to leave. And one of my college professors had mentioned a college that he knew about in Kansas City that he knew was a good school at that time. And so I was in my office, just me. That's all that was over the church building. And I was on my face before God, and I said, "Lord, I know it's time for us to leave, and I don't know what to do about it." And I just shut right up, and I stayed put. And it wasn't long. And the Spirit of God says, "Go to Kansas City, Missouri." Why, I about flew right off the handle. I come flying up and I said, "Kansas City, Missouri? I don't know anybody in Kansas City, Missouri. How can I do that?" Then I had to get back down and repent and tell the Lord that I was sorry for that. And then I told the Lord, I said, "Lord, now listen. When I get home and I tell Miss Quick where it is that we're going to be moving to, you're going to get the same response out of her." And when I got home, told her, I says, "I think I know where the Lord happens to go." She said, "Well, where's that at?" I said, "Kansas City, Missouri." And she blew up at me like I had blew up at the Lord just a little while before that. And I stood there and I started laughing. And she puffed and puffed. Pretty soon she looks at me and she says, "Well, what are you laughing about?" As I'm laughing because what you just did, I did just a little while ago, and I had to get back down and repent before the Lord because I knew I'd been wrong. That's where we ended up. It was an 800-mile one-way move to Kansas City, Missouri. And when we got there, God put one of the best pastors in our lives that we have ever had in 49 years. Dr. Parker Daly. He was the founding pastor of the Blue Ridge Baptist Temple in Kansas City, Missouri. And at that time, they was running about 1,400 people. And he came to me and he says, son, listen, he says, first of the year, he says, I'm going to put you on the staff. And I looked back at him and I said, preacher, no, no. He says, what do you mean, no? I says, I'm saying no because I'm just a college kid. I can't handle this kind of stuff. He says, I know you're a college kid, and I know you can handle more than what you think you can, and you're going to go on the staff come the first of January. And he trained me like no school could have ever trained me. And I thanked him, and I thanked him, and I thanked him. For many, many years, I thanked him. He's what's done in me what the Lord would have done in me, because it came through Parker Daly and all of the trials and tribulations that he came through in his ministry. Well, he's home with the Lord now. But you see, that's how it is, child of God. We got to get to know our God on a first name basis, if I can say it that way. We need to get to where we know our Lord very good. Well, what about you that have never trusted Christ to save your soul? How come it is you've never trusted Christ to save your soul yet? I can tell you, don't, no. Hold on. I know all about tomorrow. I've been told you're going to do it tomorrow. If I've been told that one time, I've been told that at least 100 times. But sometimes that tomorrow never got there for those people. I'm here to tell you, we're not promised a tomorrow. We're not promised any more than a minute. We're not promised any more than a second. And if you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior right now, what is it that's holding you back? Because your sin debt has been paid in full. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. The world entails every conceived individual from the days of Adam and Eve until now. And they'll just keep right on conceiving, taking all of those people in that are conceived until Jesus comes. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So what are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? God is speaking to your heart right now. I know that for a fact. He's speaking to your heart right now. He's convicting your heart right now of your sin. And the only way that you ever get rid of that sin load that you've got is to repent before the Lord God. Repent. Cry out to him and ask him for repentance of your sin. And then cry out to him and trust Christ to save your soul. And he's going to do that very thing. That very thing. He'll do that very thing. He sure will. But you see, you must believe that Jesus died for all of your souls. Amen. Listen to what happens in heaven whenever a sinner repents and trusts Christ. Luke chapter 15, verse number 7. Listen to this. I say unto you, and likewise, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than 99 just persons which need no repentance. Did you know that heaven is a very, very noisy place? The angels are going around all the time. Holy, holy, holy. Time, and there has come a time many a time since, when the angels are quiet. They're really quiet. Let me read another verse of scripture to you. Luke chapter 15 and verse number 10. Listen to this. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. You see, those angels don't know anything about repentance. But when one sinner here on this earth repents, those angels all get quiet. They don't know nothing about what the noise is, but that brings all that noise to a peak in heaven, because every saint up there knows that there's been another saint made down here. Amen and amen. You see, you got to believe that Jesus died for you. You. Listen to what happens. When we repent of our sin, the angels suddenly get quiet. They don't know anything at all about repentance. They've never known anything about repentance. Amen and amen. You see what I'm talking about? King Saul had a problem. That problem spread into three different problems. Problem, he just didn't seem to be able to find much time for the Word of God. And then he had this other problem where he just didn't seem to be able to pick the right crowd to run with. And then he had a third problem where he just didn't consider a prayer life being something important. And all three of these killed him instant. God took him out because of his sin. Amen. Amen. Well, listen to me. I'm glad to have the opportunity to speak to you tonight. I have enjoyed this. This old hymn, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me." Oh, hallelujah. His blood was shed for you too. You can come to know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior also. You can do that. But you have to know it takes a minute of silence. Silence. And your heart to get quiet before God. Repent of your sin the best way that you can. When you've done the best job that you know how, then cry out and ask Christ to save your soul. And I promise you, ladies and gentlemen, before you get up off of your knees, you're going to know that something big time has happened on the inside of you. You're going to know that for a fact. You're going to know that. Our Father, thank you for these moments together. Plead with you even now that you deal with each of these hearts that heard me preaching this night. Some have never trusted Christ. I understand that. I would plead with you even now that you'd help them to get in a quiet place where they can fall on their face before you and help them to repent of their sin the best way they can. And then help them to, for the Lord Jesus to save them. And that very thing is going to happen. Thank you so very much, Lord, for those Christians that have heard me this night. I would plead with you that you'd strengthen each one of them. I know what it's like to be weak. I know what it's like. And I would plead with you that you'd help each of us this night to make sure our love for your word, to make sure of our heart being running with the right crowd, and to make sure of our prayer life before you. And we'll sure thank you, and we'll sure praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Ken?
All right, you want to give out your snail mail there, Brother Quick?
Yes, I will. My snail mail is 1122, I often say 1122, Church Street, and that's Waycross, Georgia. Waycross is spelled capital WAYCROSS, just one word, Georgia, 31501. And we're just glad that the Lord has put us right here in the good old USA.
And if you wish to contact him via email, you can use my email, feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's F-E-E-L, letter N as Nancy, touchking@gmail.com. In your subject line, put question or comment for Brother Quick, and then put your message there, and then when you send it to us, we will take, print that off, send it to him, and then if there's any response from him, when he gets that back to us, we will PDF that to you in a reply email, and you will have it. Amen. Now, Brother Quick, as we get ready to see who's all with us here, the thing is, I was going to mention to you, it was a good message, but as we know, King Saul, the very first thing he did that started him on that slippery slope was when Samuel told him to wait on him, to wait for a certain period of time, and then Saul went and did that sacrifice that he wasn't supposed to be doing, and then Samuel said, hey, obedience is better than sacrifice, and then he also kept back some lambs and stuff that he wasn't supposed to do, and he says, oh, we were going to sacrifice them to the Lord, et cetera, et cetera. So he started on his slippery slope at the beginning there.
I know.
Yeah, but, and then on top of that, you were mentioning John 3:16, kind of reminded me of a preacher, this story that came from this one preacher. They were having some of the children and the youth in their church, and this one little girl got up to quote John 3:16, and as she started, she quoted, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only forgotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And the whole church just went quiet. Everybody started pondering that. And the next thing you know, people started running to the altar, realizing, especially those that weren't saved, realizing, look, they had forgotten the Lord Jesus Christ and they needed to get saved. And that was a very interesting thing. So kind of reminded me, you know, there's a lot of people that forgot, they forget the Lord. And kind of ties into your message there.
That's right.
All right, Ruth, who do we got with us yet?
Okay, we got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We have you, Six Eyes. We have George, of course, Brother Quick. And we have Emily standing beside me right now, and Austin's on the porch.
All right. Well, why don't we start with Boss Man and Six Eyes? What do you, since you didn't get in early, we'll take your prayer request there, Six.
All right. Well, good evening, Pastor Quick, Wolfgang, Ruthie, First Lady Quick, everybody, Emily, everybody listening, everyone going to listen later on. Welcome. My prayer request is always praying for mankind, the world, praying for my family, your friends, just praying for overall, just prayer in every area. I like tonight, my takeaway would be how you said we have to be mindful of what's going in our eye and ear gates. We have to be mindful of that because many of us watch TV and listen to stuff and don't even think twice about what we listen to. So I like how you put that, you know, with the beer commercials and the different music with profanity in it. And I just, you know, just makes you take a step back and look at what you're listening to and what you're bringing in your ear gates and eye gates. So I want to thank you for that. I receive that. And also, if they say we are all born in sin, I was listening to someone say they talked about Job. Now, wouldn't Job be born in sin as well?
He wouldn't, yes.
Okay, so she didn't know what she was saying because she said that Job had never sinned. So I said, well, let me ask somebody that would know. So Job did sin because we all were born into sin.
Right.
Okay, well, thank you for that clarification. Great message tonight.
Thank you,
man. All right, brother George, yes, do you have any further comments or prayer requests that you missed at the beginning of the show?
Yeah, well, thank you for the great message, and I want to pray for you and your wife. And I almost forgot today, I would like you to pray for Mike Elverson, Pastor Mike Elverson from the church that Doug used to preach at Salem Community Baptist. And he fell Wednesday just before prayer meeting, and they helped him up. Ron and his wife helped him up, but he bruised up his knees and stuff. He's trying so hard. He's 84, and he pastors for nothing. So we'd like a special prayer for him. And we're praying for all you guys at Six Eyes Radio Station, and you and your wife, and all the ones that are affiliated with you, we pray for. Amen.
Thank you, Brother George.
Amen.
Thank you for that. Thank you. God bless you. And Pastor, quick. Also, I'm sorry. There's a lady who's been missing over the weekend. She's an EMS worker, and they don't know if she was kidnapped or what happened. But I know they said she was due to be a witness in a trial that was coming up, and they said she went to her car, and no one has seen her. No one has seen her since. So we don't know if the guy kidnapped her or what. But her name is Lachelle Jordan. She's 30 years old, and she's an EMS worker, and they've been looking for her all week, and she hasn't returned. So I just want to pray for a safe, speedy return for her.
Yes.
All right. Well, Ruth, you said we have Sister Emily with us. Does she have any prayer requests for us tonight?
For our ministry, for Brother and Sister Quick, Brother George, all our listeners. Also be praying, the blood test they did said some of my blood counts are off, so they've pushed the first set of the bone marrow transplant off to the 18th, which is going to push each one of the dates that I was going to have it done off by one day.
Okay. Is that it, Em?
Also be praying for Austin and his family.
Okay. Does he want to get on and give any prayer requests?
He's outside watching the stroller wagon to keep it from being snatched.
Okay. Well, then, lastly, let me just also say I forgot to mention at the beginning of the program, but I don't want to forget, is Maggie Balfour, who's in Scotland. She's been listening to us, and we just want to keep her in prayer as well because she's been having some issues, been in and out of the hospital a little bit, so we want to keep her in prayer as well. And with that, Brother Quick, you could give us a closing prayer. We'll be out of here tonight, and want to invite everybody tomorrow, 9 p.m. Eastern, here at the Six Eyes Radio Network for AJ and the Squad. Amen. All right, Brother Quick.
All right. Thank you, Brother Six, for giving me the name of that lady that's missing.
Her name is Lachelle Jordan.
Okay, Lachelle. I knew the Jordan part, but I didn't get the...
Yes, sir. Lachelle Jordan, she's an EMS worker, 30 years old.
Okay. All right, and we'll just pray for her right now, and for Miss Emily, and for the blood work that they're doing on you. What's it called again?
She said her blood counts were off, and they had to delay her bone marrow transplant.
That's what it was.
All right. All right, well, then, let's pray. Our Father, thank you for these moments that you've given for us to be together tonight. And thank you for each of these requests that have come in. And we're asking you to be with Miss Emily in a special way on this bone marrow transplant. And for Austin and his family, she's asked for prayer for him. And then Brother Six has come in with this name, Lachelle Jordan, who's come up missing. She's not missing with you. You know exactly where she's at. And we're just pleading with you that you would protect her. And she's, I guess, to be a witness, I guess, in some case. We're just asking you just put your hand upon her and protect her and help her to come through this all right. And then, Father, and for each of these other requests, I pray that you'd be with Brother Mike Alverson. And, Lord, that was the first work that you helped us to plant, maybe 1975, something like that. And I'm just asking you just be with him. He's been a friend for a good number of years with us. And I'm just asking you just minister unto him and help him. There's no one man or woman at the age of 84 that can fall and come out of it all right most of the time. But we're just asking you just keep your hand upon him. And this fall that he came through, I'm asking you just keep your hand upon his bones and give him good strength in days to come. And then, Father, for Miss Ruth, that you be with her on the 19th as she goes to the doctor. And for Brother Ken, as he continues to work on this Bible, I'm asking you just touch him and help him with his cough, that you just remove that from him very soon. And then for Brother Six, I'm just glad to hear his voice again, for him to come on with this lady's name. And Lord, we don't like this kind of stuff. This is the real world we live in, and we know that. I'm asking you just minister according to your own sweet and wonderful will. Now, Lord, just be with us now and help us in these days to be found faithful unto you no matter what. And we'll sure thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless everybody. Catch you tomorrow night.
Have a good night. Everyone. God bless. Love you guys.
Good night. Thank you.